When it goes wait, the oven to preheat so I can put the meatloaf in. When it goes beep beep,
that can be anytime.
Yep, correct.
Like hours from now.
No, it would probably be the next like 5 minutes. Okay, I'll just let you know what's going on.
Welcome to Crespo Disco number 10. Crespo Disco for July 2014. Summer Disco. It's not the summer until you get sweaty doing some dancing.
You know what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Yes, you do.
Are you supposed to be dubstep dancing right now? Is that what's going on?
You should be summer dancing right now.
What's the summer? So slow motion booty shaking?
Yeah. That's your...
Lots of glow sticks.
You think dancing to you?
I don't dance. I have no idea what summer dancing is.
What do you mean you don't dance?
I don't dance.
But you know how to, though.
Maybe.
Technically, you do. You know, dancing, moving your body to the rhythm of the music.
I see. That's just it.
Yeah, I'm not saying you have to do it properly. I'm just saying you know that's what it is in theory, right?
In theory, yes. In practice, a whole different story.
So what I'm saying is, even in theory, you know how to dance. So just apply the concept of dancing to the concept of summer. Put the two together. And for you, if it means slow motion booty dancing and glow sticks.
The only time I think about like summer dancing is in like the summertime movies. So it's always, you know, like people in Ibiza and whatever the fuck kind of dancing that nonsense is.
Like the opening of...
People pretty much just having sex on the beach in their clothes.
Like the opening of Spring Breakers?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
Summer dance?
Yes.
It's summer dancing time.
Yes.
Now, this episode has nothing to do with summer or dancing. I think you're the one who brought up.
Was it? Was it me?
Have I introduced you yet? I don't think I did.
Ladies
and gentlemen, Juicy Cogburn. How's it going, dude?
It's going, man.
Co-host, co-producer, Drewster Cogburn, here for this month's Crespo Disco.
As always,
if you could not tell by the title of the file you just downloaded of the show you're looking at right now, this is our instrumentals edition. We're doing five instrumental songs that we care for quite a bit and we feel like sharing with you all, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. If you want any of that movie stuff, that's Cinema Crespedizo on the weekends. Just did episode 79. Episode 80 is right around the corner. Very exciting. If you're listening to this from the future, those episodes are long done. And download whatever one we're up to right now. What is that? Who knows? I mean, that happens, Drew. You know, people, they'll find out about a show. It's been around for a while. And if they like it enough, they'll go back and they'll download everything and start from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
I've done that with a handful of shows.
I don't know. I don't listen to podcasts.
I know, but I do.
I mean, I'm an active participant in 2+, and I don't listen to any.
Well, that's fine. I mean, a lot of people just put out the content without consuming it.
Yep.
You know, there's two types of people. There's the creators, there's the consumers. There's three types of people. There's creators, there's the consumers, and then there are the creator consumers. Yes. And then or consumer creators.
Consumer creator.
Or maybe there are just two types of people, but then there's that Venn diagram where the two circles overlap, and that little section in the middle where they overlap, that's your... consumer creators / creator consumers
/ something else, I'm sure.
Something else. So these are the songs, they're instrumentals. Instrumentals are fun, right?
Yeah. I mean, I love some of my favorite music is instrumental.
Instrumental, we'll have a couple of those in here for sure. You know how they do on the weekends? The old Casey Kasem Top 40s.
Yes.
Right, and they play like here's a Top 40 from a random weekend in 1978, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed listening to those lately just to see, you know, how music tastes changed over the years, et cetera, it's interesting. It's a time capsule to go back like that. And a good amount of songs that were on the Top 40, you know, the pop charts, the hits.
Yes.
A bunch of them were instrumentals.
Yeah.
You don't do that anymore. When was the last time an instrumental made the top 10, top 20?
Well, people liked different music back then, Chris.
Well, people liked the good music back then. Well, I mean, it wasn't all good. But
no, it wasn't all good. But there was a lot of
timeless music that was created back then.
Seems that way.
As opposed to the nonsense that's being created now that more than likely in 10 years people are just going to be like, what?
10 years, I mean. It's already 3 years later and people ain't listening no more Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga, she was the biggest thing going for a minute there.
I bet she made a shit ton of money.
So that's the thing now. It's all about getting in and out.
So, in and out.
In and out. It's about the old in and out.
In and out.
The old in and out. There you go. Give it a little... little
like
situation,
it.
Little kaboom there. Just want to pull that up. I feel like some bands today, if they go the instrumental route or if artists go that way these days, they're not really doing it for the money.
No, well, most of them are prog bands and they're going for the art.
Well, full on instrumental bands, yes. It's just weird, you know? Do people now find music boring if there's no lyrics or there's nothing to latch onto?
Maybe they just can't, you know, get into the music. Maybe they're about the song.
Just about the melody?
Yeah.
When did it become so necessary to always have them vocals up in there?
I don't know.
You know?
I mean, sometimes they're good. Sometimes, obviously. I mean, there are a lot of songs that I like the beat to.
The beat.
Or, you know, like... what's going on besides the singing? And the singing just makes you turn it off because it's garbage.
Oh, yeah. I've listened to bands where the singing's the last thing that I've liked.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to just get used to it, to tolerate it, so I can listen to everything else. Yeah, for sure. Hey, just get that singing out of there, man. It's a pain in the butt.
Oh, shit.
Plus, I've seen America's Got Talent and American Idol. Everyone, they're all singers. Every other person can sing their ass off. Yeah. I don't know why we're so... consumed with singers.
Then you lose the front man.
The front man is a different thing. You could be a great front man and be a horrible singer. I submit to you, David Lee Roth.
True that.
Yeah. Guy in his prime, he could captivate 20,000-30,000 people at a time with his jazz hands. Going, well, no! You know, like, he's not singing. But now he's just an old man doing jazz hands.
Doing the same thing. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
You can lose it, right?
Yes.
You know? Meanwhile, there's plenty of people out there who can sing great. Put them on a stage, and no one is like,
"Nope."
So he's just a guy.
No charisma,
right? None of that.
You gotta have the charisma, unless you're a bass player or a drummer, in which case you don't need any charisma at all.
Which is why
you
these
just need to be there,
right? Just be there. Which is why these songs are all great, because they don't need that front man, all that extra charisma that's slathered on top like so much butter flavored. Added stuff onto popcorn.
Butter flavored added stuff to popcorn.
I was going to say butter, but then I realized it's not butter. It's butter flavoring. So what is it?
To popcorn.
It's butter flavored topping. What do they call it?
Butter.
They just say you want some butter flavoring. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
When they offer
it? I call it fudder because it's fake butter.
We're removing. What?
Removing.
Remove what? The flutter? Flutter? Is that what you're saying?
Fudder.
We're removing the fudder from the music. And we're left with just the delicious music, the air popped music. And let's start with one of yours. Enough of that rambling. Let's start with, how about we listen to a song?
Okay.
And let's start with you. Why don't you give us one of the first ones, I assume this is one of the first ones you thought of when I said, hey, instrumentals?
Well, maybe? I mean, when you think, at least for, you know, I mean, I listen to a lot of metal, especially Metallica. And this may or may not have been the first time I was ever introduced to something instrumental that wasn't classical music.
Gotcha. Funny so, how classical music translates so well to electric guitars and metal.
Yeah, it does. That's why this is Metallica, Master of Puppets, by the way. The song is Orion. If you haven't noticed.
The album, Master of Puppets.
Yeah, album Master of Puppets. The song is Orion. It came out in 86.
86, 96, 2000. That's a long time ago. Holy cow. How did that happen?
Yeah, totally.
God damn.
It's Metallica, but it's instrumental. There's no James Hetfield going rah after everything.
Yeah.
So it's just awesome metal.
Yeah, it is. It's great. The whole album is.
Oh, this album, it's one of those put it on from hit play.
Yeah.
It'll keep going
yeah.
a couple times in a row.
So good.
Until you hear Orion again, you're like, oh man, it's Orion again.
I mean, for me, this might just be me. But for me, nothing beats that 80s Metallica.
No, nothing.
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 I know it's a very controversial opinion that very few people share with me.
No, I agree with you 100%. I mean...
Where everyone shares.
Master of Puppets and Justice for All.
Ride the Lightning.
Ride the Lightning.
Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets, and Justice for All. Those three albums, boom.
I mean, that's... Yeah, and then I would
then
take...
I mean, black albums.
And then I would take selected tracks from Kill 'Em All, yeah, and...
I could take a couple of those.
And the Black Album as well.
The Black Album, yes, although that even though the Black Album's fantastic and record-breaking and all these things, and it's so awesome, it also is... People blame Load as being the one where Metallica tried going, like, really commercial.
Yeah, no, it was Black Album.
It was a Black Album. Yeah. You know? People are just blinded by its massive success. How good it is.
Well,
know?
It's huge success. It's a great album.
Speaking of being top Billboard charts, I think it was on the top 200 for, like...
Well, dude, almost...
Like, 10 years after it was released.
Hang on,
It had some crazy record for sales back when kids listening. But, you know, before you were born, we didn't always have the internet. Sometimes we had to buy our music.
No. There was no such thing as the internet back then.
And when you bought the music, people bought that shit in the millions. And Metallica's Black Album sold in the millions for multiple years in a row. Even after they put out subsequent albums, people were just like, no, man, I just...
The Black Album.
I wore out my Black Album. I need to get another one.
Yeah. It was on the list of the 500... It's the list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. Four consecutive weeks at the top spot, so four weeks straight it was number one.
And that's something in this country for a metal album to be number one on Billboard.
And it stayed for over 300 weeks on the charts.
300 weeks on the charts.
30 million copies sold worldwide. It went 16 times platinum.
That's ridiculous. That's insane. The only metal album that I think can be considered even any way as successful or, you know, on that level, because that had longevity, obviously.
Well, it was because of all... Dude, like, the entire album was a single.
That's what I'm saying. Every album... That's the thing. Each song... Like, half the album was playable,
was on, radio.
Was playable on the radio. The songs were short enough that they were able to do that. Pantera's Far Beyond Driven debuted at number one... With no radio hit, no marketing, no nothing. Just on the strength of their fan base, which is like the closest thing I can think of to what the Black Album achieved in terms of a metal album being on the Billboard charts.
Yeah.
You know. Metallica, man. They're crazy.
Yeah. And that was Orion.
Kids still wearing them shirts.
Oh, dude, I have them. I'm wearing one underneath my
frickin'... Are you wearing one right now? He's wearing a Metallica. Look at this. Ladies and gentlemen, he's showing me his Metallica shirt. Look at that. It's a podcast, but I get the visual of him. It's got the skull and... what is
it's one of the drawings by Pusshead, the guy who does all this stuff.
The Pusshead drawings. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I still see them on the street, like kids too, man. Straight up, 11-year-olds getting the shit at Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's a cool shirt. Then who knows? Maybe they pull out their Spotify and they pull up some Metallica and they listen. Oh, yeah, actually, this is pretty good.
Yeah, I still listen to the new stuff.
How does that work? I mean, how do the kids find out about Metallica? Is it the older brothers?
Yeah, older brothers or, you know...
Fathers.
Fathers, listen to the classic rock station.
Fucking grandfathers.
I mean, depending on where you live, I mean, in Tampa, they still have, 98 Rockstar does mandatory Metallica.
Mandatory Metallica.
It's
every Monday, it's mandatory Metallica.
Yeah, they play two Metallica songs back to back. Mandatory Metallica.
I hope it's Until It Sleeps. And...
Fuel.
Yeah.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that much of the sun.
Every night, over and over and over. How do the kids know? I just want to know how they know.
I don't know.
Because they have so many options of music to listen to these days.
They do.
But yet, some of them are smart enough to be like, Master of Puppets is a bitchin' album. Maybe some of them
listen more than a bitchin' album.
Maybe some of them will know now because of listening to this.
They better.
Maybe, Drew, you just introduced someone
listen
to
more
to
Metallica.
Yeah.
Or listen to it.
Start listening.
It's good.
Even if you think you might not like it because it's metal.
It doesn't matter. Dude, my mom listens to Metallica.
Drew's mom listens to Metallica.
I was listening to it one day in my bedroom. She comes in. She's like, I like this. Can you make a tape of it for me?
There you go. See? Come on.
Yeah.
If it's good for the moms, it's good enough for you. So go ahead and let's give it a listen. All right. I'm going to... You brought it up with the Metallica. You brought up the energy.
Yeah.
I'm
better than air, better than air.
I'm going to bring it down just a little bit.
Better than barrel, barrel.
This is one of my favorite songs. I listen to it very often, even though I think it's really kind of associated with one time a year.
Mm-hmm.
From the Charlie Brown Christmas special. The Vince Guaraldi Trio. Christmas Time Is Here.
Nice.
There's actually two versions of it. There's the... what do you call it? the normal one. It's shorter, but it's got the it's like the kids' Christmas time is here. They got those. Get the fuck.
You gotta get them out.
We're getting that. What you call it? Futter.
Yep.
We're getting that futter out of here. We don't need that shit. Just give me straight up the Vince Guaraldi trio, man. I mean, they're a badass little jazz trio. They've done plenty of great music.
Yeah.
But their most popular stuff is all the Charlie Brown stuff. That almost picked that one. Almost picked that one. You could do any Vince Guaraldi trio, and it's just like, awesome. It's all so good. But I'm going on here with this one. Christmas time is here. I love it.
I know you love Christmas.
I do love Christmas.
You love it so much that Johnny the Hater calls it Christmas.
It's Christmas. Celebrate Christmas every year now, man. Is your car breaking down? That means it's Christmas. Christmas, yep. Christmas is coming. Cool. You know,
sounds about right.
Bills are piling up.
Christmas is here.
Christmas is on its way. Yep. It's like in Game of Thrones, winter is coming. Except it actually arrives. It actually gets here.
Yeah. Winter's still on the way, right? I think.
I think it is.
You think winter's still coming?
I could have sworn it came and gone. It came and went. But then someone was like, "Winter's coming." I was like, "What? Are you sure about this?"
It's been like 5 years since... Oh,
5 years.
5 years. It took 5 years for winter to come. That sounded weird.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I love Christmas, but I don't wait for Christmas to listen to the song. I'll just put the song on and feel better.
It's good stuff.
It's
very low key.
It's very low key.
Relaxing.
Exactly. It's my Zen music.
Yeah.
You know, if I just want to chill out. Can't go wrong with it.
No.
Also, it does kind of make me think of working in a coffee shop, in a very popular coffee shop during holiday time.
Oh, they played it a lot.
It would play. I would keep putting on the CD that had it on there.
So you kept playing.
It. Especially during the down times where I could walk around with the broom and slowly sweep the store because I could hear the speakers better out there than behind the line. And you know.
Awesome.
That's the end of that one. So it's Christmas is not your favorite holiday. Is your favorite holiday Thanksgiving?
I really don't have a favorite.
Is your favorite holiday St. Patrick's Day?
No. St. Patrick's Day is just green beer.
Is your favorite holiday
car bombs?
Arbor Day?
Nope. Not a big fan of Arbor Day.
Are
either.
You a Earth Day kind of guy?
Nope.
Earth Day, birthday. Uh-huh. Go see Puddle of Mud every year.
No.
Or whoever else, whatever terrible bands I get to play.
Nope.
Haven't you noticed? They do Earth Day birthday every year, and I think they do it in every major city. It's one of those things where no one knows who came up with the idea. It just started happening.
Right.
Somehow, each Earth Day birthday features the same bands.
Yep.
I don't know. I guess...
All from the early 2000s.
They all can't be doing it on Earth Day then, because everyone across the country has the same bands. And they're all just the worst bands ever.
Yes.
It's just like the worst music, the worst radio rock.
Mud. Stained.
Nickelback. Yeah, Stained. Well, it's been a long time since Stained. Has been on the radio. Yeah, we'll put them on Earth Day birthday every year.
Yep.
That's just so it's
awful.
So it's not Earth Day then.
Yeah. I'm not big on holidays, man, because holidays usually mean I'm working, and I'm feeding all the assholes who are on vacation. Because I work in the restaurant industry.
Hungry assholes.
Yeah, lots of hungry assholes.
Assholes gotta eat.
I know. I get it.
Gotta get that energy up for the assholery.
Yes.
Being an asshole is tiring stuff.
I understand.
All right, so what's your next song?
My next song.
Could I get a transition?
it's another upbeat song.
Yes. Bringing it back up.
And if you know this intro, anybody who's played Guitar Hero, Rock Band, one of those, this is on one of those things. It's insanely difficult.
It was definitely on Rock Band. Because those drums were right.
Yeah.
I couldn't get past a certain part of the drums.
I know.
Yeah.
We kept trying. Kept losing. Yep. No, it's YYZ by Rush.
Is it named after an airport?
Yes. It's the airport identification code of Toronto Pearson International Airport near Rush's hometown.
So it's not really. Whenever they find the
intro that. Dun, 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 dun. That's played in a 5/4 time signature and repeatedly renders YYZ in Morse code.
So good.
I know, because Rush is awesome like that. It's a three-piece, and they just tear everything to shreds.
Yeah, wall of music, wall of sound, what these guys do. Just three of them.
Man.
They definitely got very, during the 80s, Geddy Lee started playing his synth more than his bass.
Yeah, definitely.
This is from. This is off the album with the only like five songs on, right? Moving Windows?
Moving Pictures.
Off of Moving
Pictures. 81.
Moving Windows, 81. Yeah, this is the album. This one with. It's got Working Man on it, right? I think. No, Working Man's on Rush.
Yeah, Working Man
this
is.
This one has Tom Sawyer on it. And Red Barchetta. This one has Red Barchetta.
Working Man isn't even Neil Peart.
Oh, it's not. No.
It's the first drummer. Yeah. Tom Sawyer, Limelight, Red Barchetta, YYZ.
Yeah. Sick. So good.
All the entire album is freaking absolutely amazing.
Yeah, from start to finish.
Yeah. It's one of those, if you... Yeah. Yeah.
What is the instrumental one off it?
Yep.
So you can really sit back and just be like, mind blown. The bass.
Let's listen to the bass line. Especially this part right here. Oh, nope. Hang on. It's a couple more down.
It's coming up.
I hate it when they do that. Right here.
Yeah. Yeah, ridiculous.
I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Then the drum solo's coming up soon.
Well, and the guitar solo. Drum solo, guitar solo. I mean, actually, this song is them kind of soloing. Just, everyone's just soloing.
It's just a bunch of wankery.
Just a bunch of, yeah. We're all Canadian wankery.
Yep.
At its finest.
But it's so good.
I mean, it really is. It's
yeah.
Love it.
It's Rush.
It is.
It's YYZ.
It's Rush. It's YYZ.
It's awesome.
Damn near perfect. It's one of those things where we can enjoy Rush as much as we can, you know?
Yes.
But for some reason, it's one of those things. You go to a Rush show, Sausage Fest.
Oh, totally.
Dude City. Dude on dude action.
Well, it's
hipsters before they were hipsters.
It's because it's prog rock.
Yeah, ladies.
Chicks really aren't into prog.
Ladies, how come you don't like the prog rock? How come ladies don't like prog rock?
I don't know.
It's just music. It's just a style of music.
They're just not into it.
They would rather listen to what's his name, Luke Bryant.
I think who?
That's a country guy.
That's a guy.
How about
okay?
How about
it works, if you say so?
Yeah, Jerry Smithy.
Okay,
or,
sure.
Or Johnny Contrail. He's from Tennessee.
Who?
Johnny Contrail. I don't know.
Who? I have no idea who any of those three people are. I think that's a good thing.
I'm making up those last couple ones, but they sound like they could be country guys. Yeah. So in this day, the song's about sitting on a truck,
or getting drunk
while sitting on the truck,
and then with your dog,
and then the chorus kicks in, and it's like a bunch of questions,
yep.
Or maybe a sexual or racist double entendre.
Yes.
Have you ever heard that song? I go on homeboy or something like that.
I don't think so.
Some song about some dude and the chorus is, it's like go on homeboy, but it's like, is he saying going like homeboy, like,
or like
is he
home
talking to a black
boy.
Guy or homeboy? Yeah,
but why are you calling him boy?
Yeah. Ooh, it's like a.
It's still scary.
Have you heard the song "Accidental Racist"?
I don't think so.
That's LL Cool J and. Some really famous country dude.
Nope.
Brad Paisley, I think.
Who?
Have you heard of Brad Paisley?
No.
That's a real guy.
Nope. Are you sure?
Yes. 90% sure that's a real guy.
Okay.
And they did a song together because they were friends. They did a song together about how like they're accidental racists, how they make all these assumptions about each other based on the melanin content and the pigmentation of their the epidermal.
Well, I mean, I take
layer
one,
of
I take one look at you and I just think rice and beans.
Rice and beans. Well, other people take one look at me and think spaghetti and meatballs. Because some people just don't know.
I think you're Italian.
I can blend between
Italiano.
I can go between worlds.
Interesting.
I'm like a daywalker. I'm like a racial daywalker.
It's kind of creepy.
If I need to be, I can move freely amongst the whites and learn things and bring it back to my Spanish brother.
To your colored people.
The only thing is I got to be like, all right, which one of you guys can speak white?
No, that's you. You're the one who speaks white.
Oh, I got to do the translating.
You speak white. What you need is a translator to translate into
Spanish.
Translate
me what I'm saying.
Because you do not speak it, my friend.
So they did a song called Accidental Racist. You should not check it out.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, country music.
Nope.
Why are we talking about country music?
I don't know.
Because of Luke Bryan. Oh, that's what the girls are listening to. How come they
the
don't
ladies
listen
aren't into prog rock?
How come they don't listen to prog rock? We could be having so much fun.
They're
ladies
just not into Between the Buried and Me, dude.
And you know the ones who are? The ones who are into it?
Kind of weird.
Usually not the best lookers.
Yeah.
I don't know why, what it is. It's All right, fine. Listen to your fucking Sister Hazel. You go over there with your headphones. You listen to Sister Hazel, and I'll listen to fucking Boston over here.
Hell yeah. God damn. Some Rush.
You know what I'll be listening to while the girl's sitting over there in the corner just listening to the worst music possible? It'll just depress me so much.
You'll have to listen to...
I have to put on some Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, man.
Because Nine Inch Nails, they run the gamut of emotions, but a lot of the emotions are usually in the range sad. Between sad...
And sadder.
Sad to angsty. I'd say sad and sadder to angst-ridden and, you know...
Frustrated.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of fitting. This is definitely on the sadder end because it's off of their... I say there. It's off of Trent Reznor's...
Well, at a certain point in time, there were more people than just Trent.
It was always a touring band. When it came to the music in the studio, it was 100% Trent. Now it's him and Atticus Ross.
Yeah.
Right? But that's How to Destroy Angels. Anyway, that's something different. Anyway. CD. Album. Still. That's all it's called, Still. And it's... like five or six. It's an acoustics thing, but it's not acoustic because sometimes just piano or stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes acoustic guitar, but it's like the stripped down versions of some of his songs. Some of them, like this one's Adrift and at Peace, which is just a little like interstitial almost on The Fragile,
mm-hmm.
You know. But then he has ones like he has this piano version of Head Like a Hole.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting. That's how he writes his music. He writes all of his songs on piano first.
Yeah.
And then he later.
Does all the weirdness.
Does it all synthesized and, you know, adds all the rockiness to it. So actually, it was just him stripping everything back down to
where
he started from. And the Drift in that piece is one. It's a short one. It's almost over. And I just, you know.
This is it?
I just put it on. I just listen to it. Usually
over
after.
And over and over.
Right.
On repeat.
After. No. I'll loop it with, like, Christmas Time is Here.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe another song or two. Yeah. Little nuggets of sad joy. That's what I call them.
Little nuggets of sad joy.
Yeah. Because that makes sense, right?
Yes.
Sad joy.
Sad joy.
And I mean, yeah, Nine Inch Nails is pretty great stuff. Although it's another one, like, you know, like many bands where some of the earlier stuff, the younger stuff, is better than the more recent outputs. Last couple albums haven't been too hot. You know, they're Fragile. Damn masterpiece, if you ask me. Downward Spiral. Everyone knows Downward Spiral. That's another one where somehow a quarter of the album ended up being a single. Singles on the radio. The 90s were just a little more adventurous, I think, when it came to...
Yeah, they were.
That was the last adventurous time for music.
Well, at least for the radio.
Yeah, for the radio. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah, now it's all staying. It's been quite a while since there's been any good radio music.
It has. I mean, unless you're listening to one of the classic rock stations, in which case you're just listening to old radio anyway.
Even then, you're just listening to old radio, and even then, it's like, come on, guys. I know Queen did We Are the Champions
and Bohemian Rhapsody.
You don't gotta play them both five times a day each. I mean,
can I get some Fat Bottom Girls up in this bitch?
That's not even like an unknown song, right? Or even another one, Bites the Dust. Like, I hear that one every now and then. Or Under Pressure.
Yeah.
That's a song to listen to over and over and over. But now you're going to play me Bohemian Rhapsody over and over. Guys. Or, you know, maybe just because we're in Florida. I doubt it. It's probably nationwide. Enough of the Tom Petty. Enough.
No, it's Florida,
enough
dude.
With the Tom Petty.
Nope. That's like asking Florida to get rid of Jimmy Buffett. What are you, high? That's never going to happen.
Jimmy Buffett is... See, I think we talk about this off air. Jimmy Buffett is so innocuous. It's nothing. It's light. It's feathery. It's bubbles. It's nothing.
It's old. His old stuff isn't.
Okay, that's not what people are listening to.
Well, no, I haven't.
It's not Brown Eyed Girl.
I don't listen to anything after
I'm saying the stuff that he hears.
Songs you know
by
heart.
The stuff you hear playing on the speakers when you go to Margaritaville.
So awful.
To pay $15 for the nachos.
It's
awful.
That's just
steel drums. It's like it's nothing. It's almost relaxing in its nothingness.
Yeah.
It's like white noise of music. I don't know. I can't hate it because it's something I hate. It's like, ooh, I hate this. Fluff.
I hate white bread.
I hate this white bread. This white bread is so bland and nothing. It's terrible. No, it's not. It's just white bread. It's not like bad rye or something.
No.
It's Jimmy Buffett's like white bread. All right. Accidental Racist is that bad rye.
Okay.
I don't know.
Gotcha.
Where's that going?
I have no idea.
All right. What's your next song?
My next song is
It's by a band called Global Communication.
Never heard of them.
The name of the song is 523, and that's how long the song is. It's also known as Maiden Voyage.
That's actually how I had to find it under Maiden Voyage.
Yeah, it was on, it came out in 94 off their studio album, their only studio album. I found out about it. It was a song on the music of Grand Theft Auto 4 soundtrack that I got.
All right.
And this is one of my peaceful music. It's very light. It's very airy. It gets spacey here in a little bit.
It sounds straight up Michael Manny. You know?
Yeah.
Like this is there's a scene in Heat where like they're just driving down the highway.
Exactly.
And it's just this plane.
Yes.
Does it ever go
down? No. No.
That's all it's missing. It just needs a guitar every now and then it goes down.
You'll hear. It's okay. The pianos come in a little bit. Not pianos, I guess it's synthesizers.
Yeah, synthesizer type stuff.
It ramps up a little bit.
When's it from?
This song was recorded in 94.
Alright, so it's 20 years old.
See?
Oh yeah.
It's very soundtracky.
94, that's the year Heat came out, I think. Hey, maybe he was watching Heat, it's like inspiration.
I mean, they used it in Grand Theft Auto 4 soundtrack, which is, you know, that's
very smart of them.
Yeah. So it's an awesome song. I just like to put it on.
Let
myself a jazz cigarette and chill out.
Let me tell you what the jazz is all about. Global Communication is the name of the band.
Yes, Global Communication.
Have you listened to any of their other stuff?
This is the only thing I can ever find.
Like just this one song?
Yeah. Oh.
It's not on the Spotify.
It's not on the Spotify. This song is on the Spotify because the Grand Theft Auto soundtrack's on the Spotify.
Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha.
But, you know, I haven't searched the interwebs, so I don't know, maybe.
It's kind of doing that. It's like it's got that bass underneath where it's going. Bow, bow,
bow. Yeah, that part gets higher, less bassy. I think actually right here, maybe.
It starts kicking in a little more.
Gets all high. Yeah, a little whistle in there.
This needs to be put on a CD so it can just drive around.
Yeah, no, this is at great night. Driving music.
Driving at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely night driving music, 100%, on the highway. There's a horn that comes in, kind of like the guitar that you want, like the oh, yeah. But it's a horn. It's a.
I'll take a good solid horn hit. Now I want to wait for the brass.
Here we go. Yeah, sweet. It's coming up soon. Close your eyes and go on a journey through space, Chris.
Hey, actually, if you're
come with
to this
me
right
on
now.
A journey through space and time. This is Cosmos.
Yeah, it could be a. Also, a little Cliff Martinez-y.
Yeah, kind of. But this is 94. This is before all those fuckers ever thought of any of this.
The spaceship is landing.
It's I think these guys are British.
I like it. I like the Ritz.
Just a little bit. Just
that's good stuff.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's very, like I said, it's very ambient, very, I guess, it's kind of a little down tempo, you know, it's just very. It's
but,
chill.
But it does feel like it's constantly
moving forward.
Moving forward and building up.
Yeah. Very slowly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Slow build.
You know, it's because it's music related.
Yes.
Just, yeah. Dark Knight. Yes. The Dark Knight. Not the Dark Knight Rises. One of the Dark Knights.
The Dark Knight.
There's the thing they do in several scenes and in the actual score where it has like the audio or the aural version of an optical illusion, like an audio illusion.
Okay.
Where it's this Hans Zimmer, like he knew there's this tone that you get that like a tone like that. Where it's just sustained.
Yeah.
And when it is sustained like that, to your ear, it sounds like it's constantly going up.
Oh, really?
So it's like, it sounds to you, but it's not, though. But it has the illusion of
okay.
It. So then when he puts that into score and in the scenes, it gives the scenes these the extra tension.
Yeah, like it's building
towards
something.
It's building towards something. Like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, it's but it's an oral illusion.
Interesting.
That may, I wonder if they did something similar to that. Because like, it's a 5+ minute song.
Yeah.
And it's just...
5 minutes and 23 seconds.
5 minutes and 23 seconds. So, like, is there something, the way they're doing it, to make it sound like it's constantly blowing up? You know, they're just doing the same thing over
and over. Or maybe they're just sitting there slowly pressing the volume thing up.
Pitch up slowly. Slower.
Slower.
Hate to work for that guy.
Oh, that would suck.
Sounds like such an asshole. You mentioned the jazz.
The jazz.
Let me tell you what the jazz. This is all about
the jazz. Jazzamajoo.
John Coltrane. Fantastic John Coltrane.
Yes.
Known almost as well for his heroin habit as he is for his fantastic music.
Mm-hmm.
That Blue Note. It was the name of one of his more seminal pieces of work. This is off his album Ballads, which is only 6 songs, and it's, you know, since it's called Ballads, it's all a bunch of slower stuff.
Yeah.
This one's called It's Easy to Remember, and I just love it, man. It's so...
It's just jazzy. It's some horns, maybe some drums.
Not just some horns, though. It's Coltrane on that saxophone. Letting that soul flow through, you know. I like jazz on a... I'm not into jazz, but I like it, though. I listen to it. But yeah. I like, you know, the popular stuff. I listen to Coltrane. I listen to Miles Davis. What's his name? Buddy Miles. You know, it's the same stuff. As, yeah. Like I don't get too deep into it. I mean, listen to some Dave Brubeck.
Or some Vince Guaraldi. Getting into jazz is like diving into an entire new world.
It's ridiculous.
Like, jazz is... And the
deeper,
good Lord.
The deeper you get, the further away from reality you get, yes. Man. Because jazz is removed from reality. Let me tell you that for sure. Also very American.
Yes.
100% born in America. Mm-hmm. One of the few things we can claim as, like, 100% our own.
And rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Rock and roll.
Only because the blues started in America. That's all rock is. Rock is just the blues.
Yeah, true. The British rockers did just steal American blues.
Yeah.
So jazz and blues. And really, what else do you need?
Apple pie.
And apple pie. Jazz, blues, and apple pie. Apple pie was Deutschland.
I know. Shut up.
Probably, right?
Yep. What? 100%.
Why do I know that? I don't know why I know that. Yep. John Coltrane. It's easy to remember. Ballads. It's beautiful stuff. I mean,
it is.
Jazz cigarette, jazz music.
Yes.
And then if you
hand in hand, my friend.
And then you feel jazzy. Sit around, drink a little bit of wine.
Maybe some jazz needles.
Maybe get some jazz needles and get yourself a jazz needles. Well, I was thinking jazz needles from making yourself a jazz sweater.
No.
But you're talking jazz needles to put yourself into jazz slumber.
Exactly. Chase that jazz dragon.
Chase jazz dragon. We're chasing jazz dragon. Coltrane's riding them. Coltrane, come back. I named my jazz dragon Coltrane.
Nice.
So if you ever hear, I call it in my sleep, Coltrane, come back. Where are you going?
We know what Chris is talking
That's
about.
That's me sweating out the...
sweating out that jazz.
Sweating out that jazz. Going through jazz withdrawals. Listen, I just need a hit of jazz.
That's all. Just give me a little jazz.
Just give me a little 5/4 tempo and some bass wankery.
Yep.
Do girls like jazz? Do ladies like jazz?
I don't know.
I don't know either. That I don't know. I definitively know ladies do not listen to Rush.
No.
For sure. 100%. For sure.
Yeah.
But do they listen to jazz?
I don't know. They don't listen to Rush, though.
I don't think they listen to jazz much either.
I don't know. I've never...
Maybe they prefer more Spyro Gyra.
I don't know.
Kenny G, is that where he gets his...
Kenny G is awful.
Yeah, he's not the best.
Not so bad.
Not the best.
No, very bad.
No. All right, I brought it down with the jazz.
Yes, sir.
How about you help us bring it back up?
Oh, yeah, totally. 100%. If you remember anything about the 80s...
You remember this?
You will recognize this song. This is... Crockett's theme by Jan Hammer from the Miami Vice TV show. It was so popular that he put it on one of his albums, and it's just called Crockett's theme. But it's so 80. It is 80s.
I think maybe I have a copy of the Miami Vice soundtrack on vinyl.
That's awesome.
I might. And everyone knows the main intro.
Yes.
But I mean, Crockett's theme.
Crockett's theme. Dude, listen to that.
Again, we're driving. Again, Michael Mann. This one's more directly related to Michael Mann. Michael Mann created Miami Vice.
Yeah.
So it's 100% in his style.
Yes, it is.
Which includes this awesome music.
Yes.
Jan Hammer.
Jan Hammer.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah. It's just, it's so 80s. Like, you hear it and you're like, yeah, this was made in the 80s. Like, hands down, no matter what. Like, there's no way it could have been created in any other decade.
Unless someone's copying an 80s sound.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only way.
Only way.
And again, it's like, play this back to back with the global communication.
And
hit the road.
Throw in some Tyco in there too.
Throw in some Tyco.
Tyco.
T-Y-C-H-O.
Yes, that stuff. That is fucking driving music. That is specifically driving the Pacific Coast Highway.
Oh,
like
so you, the East Coasters. I didn't think about it.
There are mountains and there's an ocean and the sun's shining. Like that's what I think of when I listen to Tyco.
Gotcha.
But this is definitely driving music as well.
This stuff, not just because of Miami Vice, definitely think about driving
on the beach.
On a beach, near a beach, or in a downtown area with,
neon
city
lights,
street lights hitting your face, turning green and red as you drive. Yes. Yeah. The driving scene's from Drive.
100%.
Pretty much. Nighttime driving scene.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Not the insane car chase stuff.
Yeah.
In the middle.
I mean, hell, most of that music from Drive was inspired by stuff like this.
For sure. 100%. Yeah. 100%. Oh, so that's good stuff. Was the 80s the best time for driving music?
Maybe it was, because everybody was on cocaine.
And driving.
You're like, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to drive. I'm going to keep driving. This is awesome.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You need to have awesome music to drive all awesome, Lee, and whatnot.
I think that makes sense to me. Driving's important.
It is.
Gets us places.
Point A to point B.
Made the world smaller.
And larger.
Ooh.
Yeah, think about that motherfucker. New great philosophers up in this bitch.
New great philosophers. This song is a transitional song.
Okay.
But it's about 2 minutes long. And it's instrumental. So it's perfect.
So it works?
It works, and I love it. I actually do put this up. Put this song on, listen to it instead of, because it's only supposed to get you from track 6 to track 8. Even has the name Shift in the title. It's Red Shift by Hopes Fall off of the Satellite Years.
Yeah.
And it's just this right here.
Is that still an intermission?
For 2 minutes.
Yeah, I almost put the song is called A Brief Yet Triumphant Intermission by Against Me.
Yeah.
It's only like a minute and 30 seconds.
I would have had that beat.
But it's awesome.
I would have had that beat because I almost put in, hey, you want to throw up, I'll pilot your fine pirates.
No, it's even shorter. It's 45 seconds
about
40, long.
About 40, 30 to 40 seconds. But it's another one where it's like, oh, man, this is so, imagine if this was a whole song.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Yeah.
They did a lot of that on that album.
Yeah, but it's the one that stands out for me. Yeah, I really like that one. But yeah, Redshift, Hopes Fall, it's a transitional song. So I'll use it to transition us.
I almost put a failure transition on there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Segway 1 from Fantastic Planet.
They even call it a Segway.
Yeah. Yep. Segway 1, 2, and 3.
That's from the 90s, though, right? Because failure.
Yeah.
Because now they call it the Segway. People are thinking of Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Correct.
Yep.
Awful.
Yeah, you guys ruined that word.
Totally. 100%.
With your stupid Segway machines, your people movers.
Goddamn Segways.
Unless, you know what, though? We wouldn't be saying that if we had one.
I think I would.
Maybe Segway wants to challenge our preconceived notions on Segways and send us one.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. If anybody who works for knows somebody about Segway, we want one for free.
For free.
And then we'll talk shit about it later.
Well, we might talk good about it if it's good.
I doubt it is.
How do you know? You gotta get it first. Just make sure the battery doesn't run low, because then you'll fall off it.
Oh.
And then you look like George Bush.
Ahaha.
Because he fell off one once.
Oh.
And those things are supposed to be like, you know, known for being impossible to fall off.
Yep. Well, GW can do just about anything he puts his mind to.
Oh, yeah, he can. Actually,
his feeble, tiny little brain.
Yes, he can. Before we do our last songs, I had a couple of other bands I wanted to mention that I really couldn't pick any songs or whatever, you know, but I thought of a couple.
Okay.
That I still wanted to bring up. like Explosions in the Sky.
Yes, I almost picked an Explosion song.
The thing is with Explosions, so all their songs are like 8 to 10 minutes long, and it takes a good long time for them to build up.
Yeah, they build
too. So it's great for listening to when you
but
have
not
time.
For talking about.
Yeah, because it'll take forever to get to it. Like, here comes, you know, it'll be 4 minutes of that. Here it comes. Yeah. But still, Explosion in the Sky, great. A similar thing with the band Pelican.
Yes, agreed. Instrumental. I've seen them 2 or 3 times. Five?
At least twice.
Yeah, I've got two of their show posters in my bedroom.
Yeah. Very, very good instrumental metal band. And Godspeed, You Black Emperor.
Yep.
They're weirder. They do like 20-minute songs.
Yeah.
You know, those songs have like parts of them that are barely music. It's just like sounds and like people like. Sounds like in a warehouse shouting from like across the room. Like, what's he saying? What's
and
going on over here?
Weird clicks and whistles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, there's things happening and stuff. Like, kind of an industrial thing to it. Like, an old school industrial thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mixed with some rock that builds up. People would know if they saw 28 Days Later and the beginning when Cillian Murphy, he's walking around England and everyone's gone. You know, he's like, where did everyone go? After he woke up from his coma. And the rock song is playing and it's building up. That's like a 6-minute portion of a 20-minute song off of a Godspeed, We Black Emperor. Because there's an exclamation point after Godspeed. Their album actually is, that one's called F sharp, A sharp, parentheses, infinity.
Yes.
And the sharps aren't spelled as a sharp as in the note. So you guys are pretentious.
Yes,
100%. You gotta fight through the pretension a little bit, but it's worth it. Also, their 4-song EP, Lift Your Skinny Fists Like Antennas to Heaven.
Yes, it's a great one.
It's a great one. Plus, that's just fun to say. Lift your skinny fists like antennas to heaven. And I mentioned plenty of times on the show already, but Philip Glass, just a wonderful composer. Love all his music.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you have any?
Don't forget about Animals as Leaders.
Animals as Leaders, yes. That's
more,
another one.
More instrumental, but more proggy.
Yeah. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. Do the girls listen to them? I have no idea.
No, probably. Well, I don't know. There were a couple. No, probably not. Yeah. The Free Association?
Ah, yes, Free Association. That's David Holmes. That's like one of his things.
Yeah.
A guy who does a lot of film stuff, you know, and pop music on the side and whatever. And that Free Association stuff is great. Also, whatever, you know, all just check out his Ocean's 11 scores.
Yeah.
It's all doom, doom, boom, 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 boom. That makes me think of Adrian Young. Young, Y-O-U-N-G-E. He's the guy that curated the one Black Dynamite album and then produced the other one and did all the music for it.
Oh, nice.
I mean, that guy is, he's awesome. He's fantastic.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, then let's get into your last song. Go ahead and get this started right there for you. You can let the people know what's going on.
We're not talking about movies.
But we're talking about this.
But we're talking about this, though. It's off a movie soundtrack. This is the song Monday by a composer, John Bryan.
Yes.
It's for the I Heart Huckabees soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And every time I hear this song, I just smile. It's such a fun little song.
It is.
The whole album is awesome. It's fantastic. I mean, most of my favorite songs have words, though. So I just tried to pick my favorite song that didn't have words.
Yeah.
On this album.
And this is essentially the main theme.
Yeah, for I Heart Huckabees.
It comes up 3 or 4 times. And then there's 3 or 4 different versions of it on the
Yeah, it gets slowed down, sped up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Instruments added.
Got the end titles version.
Yep.
It's like, oh yeah, that feels like the end of a movie.
Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, again.
It's just...
John Bryan, he started doing, you know, just like pop music.
Yeah.
And you can hear it on some of the songs on there.
Yeah, totally.
Where he's doing singing and stuff. Like, oh, this is very, like, Brit pop, you know, kind of has like a Robbie Williams type feel to it. But then he does, you know, he has his style of instrumentation. It was like, ding, ding.
Yep.
What is that? Are those, are we talking about xylophones or these little precious string instruments? What's he playing with?
I have no idea. Because
he uses it over and over and over. Now, you know, he does his music using commercials. I hear it in commercials all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, it's like...
John Bryan.
This is John Bryan.
Yeah.
Good old John Bryan.
Burnin' it.
He did the score for Punch Drunk Love. Great score.
Yes, he did. I mean, he's done a lot of film scores.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Something really
good.
Yep. And then, I mean, right there, P.T. Anderson, David O. Russell, Spike Jones, not Spike Jones, Charlie Kaufman and Michel Gondry. They all love the guy. And just like that, it's already ending.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Aww. He also did the score for Magnolia.
Yes. Poor Pete Anderson. And his first movie, Heart 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heart 8's awesome.
Heart 8 is fantastic. We're out.
And that was it. That was the song.
We're not talking about movies. We're talking about jazz and pop. And the Jell-O pudding.
Jell-O pudding snacks.
And
who's the most fuckable Huxtable, Chris?
Theo. Rudy. That's so Raven. I'm gonna end this one. We're gonna bring it back. We're gonna bring it back to the late 60s. Roughly 60, I wanna say 68, 69-ish. What year was Woodstock?
I don't know.
Was that
I toured Not Alive back then, sir.
Was it 74?
I toured Alive.
Oh, you weren't alive, so you don't know anything that happened before.
Correct. I know nothing of the world before my birth.
It's called history. That's a lot of people's that's a lot of people's excuse for stuff.
Okay.
That was before my time. How could I know about the American Civil War? It was before my time.
Okay. Actually, I'm a history buff. I know about all that shit.
Well, but then when was it Woodstock?
I don't know.
Damn it. Well.
Not, oh, no.
Playing at Woodstock, many bands. One of them, a rock band that, you know, guy's still around, still putting out music, and I don't think he gets enough love, considering the longevity of his career.
69.
Okay, perfect. So so this album came out right around that time. The album's called Abraxas, and it's Santana.
Oh, Santana's awesome.
Santana does not get enough love, I think. You know, people don't respect the guy enough. It's going to be one of those things where the guy is going to die, and then everyone's going to come out of the woodwork like, oh, he meant so much to all of us.
Yeah, well, and he's had a larger impact than probably people give him credit for. Yeah,
exactly, that's what I'm saying, though. Incredible, incredible music. It's probably one of the earliest mixtures of the straight ahead, like American rock with like Spanish style, world style music. Yeah. You know, the percussion.
Very Latin influence.
The Latin influence that he was obviously going to bring. Oh, he's Carlos Santana, right? But just done in a way that it's all mixed together beautifully.
Yeah.
And people loved it. I mean, for a while, he was on top of the world. Oh, you're going, blah, the Black Magic Woman.
Yep.
The song is Soul Sacrifice, which is like a 7-8 minute instrumental. Part of the reason I mentioned Woodstock is because this album came out right before Woodstock. Performed at Woodstock. Remember reading he was like, because he was wearing his like headband or whatever. No, that was Hendrix. Hendrix had like 7 tabs of acid under his headband while he was playing. But Santana, that band, everyone in the band, they all dropped acid before they went on stage. And then they did like a 15-minute version of Soul Sacrifice. And it's just like, everyone going crazy, crazy, crazy.
And he was tripping balls.
Tripping balls off.
Squares and probably triangles as well.
And he was like, where are all these circles coming from, man? Let me try to kill them with my guitar notes.
Yes.
I'm getting them. Man, it just... I love the music. It's all so good. It's so rocking. But then there are times when it's like, because he's Latin, so it's gonna be all sensual and stuff too. And it's like, oh, it makes you want to move, makes you want to dance. Even if you don't know how to dance, Drew,
can't do it.
Theoretically, you know the mechanics.
In theory, I get it.
Moving the arms, the legs.
I understand it.
If you end up doing the chicken dance, you end up doing the chicken dance. This is what it is.
In practice, it does not work. But in theory, I understand.
Just trying to think of a way we can get you to dance for a big room of people.
Not gonna happen.
We'll figure it out one day.
Not ever.
We'll figure out. Nope. So, someone like Matt Celery or Rage Against Twitter figure out a way to put together a connive some sort of situation in which you might find yourself having to dance for a couple seconds.
Nope.
You never know.
I don't think so.
You never know.
Ain't gonna happen, buddy.
Put on some Santana. That'll make you dance without you even knowing it. You wouldn't even know before you know it, you're moving.
I prefer the chair dancing.
Oh, like musical chairs?
We can do some
musical
chairs. I just sit here and just bob my head.
Oh, see, that's good enough.
That's all I got.
That's paraplegic dancing. You can do the white person dance where you plant your feet and then you move, a lot of shoulder movement.
I hate the white people dance.
A lot of shoulder movement. You're holding the beer, you're holding it up.
The white people dance is the most awful thing in the world.
Maybe moving your head back and forth just a little bit.
I hate it.
Feet.
I hate the white person dance.
Feet firmly planted.
Firmly.
But make sure you're bending at the knees, all right? Or else if you're not too stiff, you won't get good blood flow, you might pass out.
Sweet.
Bend at the knees.
Thanks, Chris.
Plant the feet.
It's not going to happen.
Think of when John Oliver dances behind his desk and he does that thing.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. That's that. That's all you need to know. And then it fits for 70% of the music you might hear on any random time.
Yeah, I think I'm just okay with not dancing. Just like I'm completely okay with not seeing snow ever.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure out a way to make you dance in snow. It'll happen.
No.
One day. All right, that brings us to the end of instrumentals. Hope you enjoyed those songs. We'll finish out with what we're listening to now. I'll play a couple songs and we're done. So thank you. Appreciate it. Rate us and review us on iTunes, Stitcher. Email the show, cinemacrespiso@gmail.com, and go to chriscrespo.com. All right, so I guess we'll play my song first, and then we'll finish off with your song. So, you know that that Bose commercial where everyone's got to be listening? You got to take a selfie with your Bose headphones?
Mm-hmm.
Have you done that yet?
No.
Taking a selfie?
I don't have Bose headphones.
Oh, okay. I'll get us some. We can... Because that's what we're supposed to do, right?
I guess. That's what the commercial says.
The commercial says. So if it's on TV...
Then we have to do it.
That song that plays, that little electronic song,
mm-hmm.
It's, have you ever heard of a band called Capital Cities?
No.
I think they're starting to get kind of popular. I think the kids might be listening to Capital Cities.
Okay.
I might have stumbled upon something the kids are listening to. Yeah. It's possible. To me, it's brand fucking new.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty cool. That song is called Kangaroo Court.
Okay.
And I like it.
Nice.
Rest of the album, I've listened to it a little bit. It's not bad so far. You know, it's just more or less kind of mm-hmm. more of that stuff. So
yeah.
I'll probably listen to that for the next week or so and then be done with it.
Sweet.
So Capital Cities Kangaroo Court. What do you play? What's yours?
Mine is the Solar Sailor remix by Pretty Lights from Tron Reconfigured album.
There you go. Nice remix of that. Of the Tron. That stuff is awesome.
It's Daft Punk. Yeah, it's Daft Punk remixed though, by Pretty Lights.
So, I mean, I don't know who Pretty Lights is.
Yeah.
Who's Pretty?
I've mentioned him a couple times in a couple past episodes.
Oh, have you? Okay. Yeah. It never sticks.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't.
Never, I mean, what kind of name is Pretty Lights? French.
Kind of.
French, aren't they?
No.
He.
Colorado.
French Coloradan.
Probably not.
All right.
Solar Sailor, French by way of Colorado.
Solar Sailor is probably my favorite song off the normal Tron Legacy soundtrack.
The remix is pretty good.
So here we go. Here's a remix. So we'll start with the Kangaroo Court. Here's some Kangaroo Court, Capital Cities, and then Pretty Lights remixing Daft Punk Tron Legacy soundtrack.
Reconfigured.
Whatever. Twitter.com/CrespoDiso, Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso, Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso, Twitter.com/IamChrisCrespo, Twitter.com/AntiHero419, Instagram.com/AntiHero419, Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. You can call me at 321. Wait a second. What? What did you say? All right, we're out of here. There's a dark part of town where the girls get down, and I cannot wait for a chance to go. Wait for a chance to go. I got my bad luck shoes and every excuse to dance these blues away. Ain't coming home. I ain't coming home. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Sit up, sit up, sit up. It's a kangaroo court. Kangaroo court. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Sit up, sit up, sit up. It's a kangaroo court. In a dusty room, I come to assume that I've been doomed to lose my mind tonight. Too weak to fight. So I try to save face and I rest my case. The judge pulls me aside, says, "Sailor."